The bank card arrived this morning. Not with a dramatic phone call, just a quiet notification from the BIET app on my phone. After 3 days of paperwork and waiting, the plastic rectangle that proves I have a small, functional life here was suddenly in my hands. It cost nothing to activate. The account itself was free to open with just my passport and the rental contract for the flat. And now I can actually pay for things without a pocketful of notes. I spent a good 5 minutes just staring at it, which felt ridiculous and also completely reasonable. It's a small key, but it unlocks the boring, essential stuff. The flat I found, on the edge of the Medina near the Bab Suaka Quarter, is a compromise. It's about 900 dinars a month, which is steep for the area but cheap for the peace of mind it gives me. The building is old, the stairs are marble and worn smooth in the middle, and the landlord is a retired schoolteacher named Madame Layla, who lives on the ground floor with a small, perpetually angry dog. The flat itself is one big room with a high, painted ceiling and a tiny kitchenette tucked into the corner. But the windows open onto a courtyard where the neighbor's jasmine has gone completely wild, and every time the wind blows, the whole room smells like the inside of a fancy soap shop. It's a good smell to wake up to. But I couldn't sit inside all day. The weather app says it's about 26 to 40 degrees, and the city is handling it the way it always does, a slow shutter coming down over the streets between noon and 4, then everything snapping back to life in the late afternoon. I decided to follow the city's rhythm. I needed a few things, and I also needed to just walk around and let the place start to feel less like a postcard and more like a neighborhood. So I headed out with my new bank card in my wallet, feeling dangerously grown up. First stop was the bank itself. Not the central branch where I opened the account, but a smaller BIET branch near the clock tower on Avenue Habib Bourguiba. I needed the attestation d'ouverture de compte, the official proof of account, for my carte de séjour file. The queue was short, and the whole thing took about 15 minutes. The teller, a woman named Salma with bright red glasses, handed me a piece of paper with an official stamp on it that felt heavier than it should. That stamp is my ticket to the next step at the police commissariat. Another box ticked off on the long list of things that make me a resident instead of a tourist. With the paper safely in my bag, I walked the length of Avenue Habib Bourguiba. It's the city's spine, a wide, straight boulevard that runs from the clock tower down to the old gates of the Medina. It's often called the Champs-Élysées of Tunis, which is a bit of a stretch, but it has a certain grand, faded elegance. Palms line the middle, and the pavement cafes are full of men in polo shirts arguing about football and women in elegant summer dresses sipping espresso. Everything moves at a pace that feels permanently set to later. I stopped at a small cafe terrace for a coffee, about 1.5 dinars, less than a dollar, and just watched the city go by. It's a good way to reset your clock when you're new. In the afternoon heat, I ducked into the air-conditioned calm of the Treehouse coffee shop. It's a sleek, modern place with exposed brick and a serious-looking espresso machine, a world away from the brass and mirrors tradition of the old cafes. I ordered a cold brew. It was around 8 dinars, a real splurge compared to the street coffee, and sat by the window watching the heat shimmer off the pavement outside. It felt like a small, necessary luxury, a moment of cool, quiet efficiency in a city that does not do efficiency in August. I charged my phone, checked my messages, and planned my evening. Because that's the real story of Tunis in August. The days belong to the sun and the shutters, but the nights belong to festivals. I'm told the 60th Carthage International Festival is running nightly at the ancient Roman Theater in Carthage, a short TGM train ride up the coast. The lineup apparently includes some huge names from the Arab music world, and it's the thing to do. I checked the tickets, which seem to be sold only online through a platform called Tescherty, with prices from about 40 to 150 dinars. I didn't commit to anything yet, but I wanted to know what was on. Back in Tunis proper, I heard about something smaller and scrappier. The Neighborhood Arts Festival at Massart, a space in the city, is on for its 12th edition. I'm told they had a slam poetry night on the 3rd of August, and a graffiti mural workshop running all week. It felt more my pace than a huge concert. I wasn't sure what I'd find, but I figured it was a good way to hear Tunisian Arabic spoken fast and loose, and to see what young local artists are doing right now, not what the guidebooks tell you to look at. I took the Metro Léger, the light rail, part of the way, and then walked the rest. The sun was finally dropping, throwing long shadows across the street and pulling the heat out of the pavement. The cabs were out in force, honking gently at anyone who looked like they might be considering jaywalking. The city had a pre-evening buzz. I found the building, a slightly rundown colonial-era structure with a heavy wooden door that was propped open with a brick. From inside came the sound of voices and, I think, a bass guitar being tuned. The space was cool and dark. The walls were covered in work from the graffiti workshop, big, colorful letters and faces in bright pinks and blues. There was a small crowd, mostly students and a few older artist types. A kid was selling cold cans of local soda from a cooler for 1 dinar each. I bought one and stood against the back wall, watching people arrive. I didn't know anyone, and my brain was tired from a day of functioning in a new language, so I mostly just observed. It was nice to be in a room full of people making things and talking about making things, even if I was only there as a witness. My stomach started to growl, so I stepped back out into the warm evening air. I was near Lafayette, and I remembered passing a casual restaurant called Falfal Menze 5 earlier. It's the kind of place with plastic tables and a menu that's basically a list of fried things and salads. It's famous for its fracasse, little fried rolls stuffed with tuna, harissa, potato, and a boiled egg, for about 4 or 5 dinars each. You get the full experience. I ordered one, and the young man at the counter gave me a look that said, "Tourist," but an acceptable one. I ate it standing up at a high counter, the oil hot and good, the harissa giving it a proper kick. It was the best thing I'd eaten all day. I walked home slowly, taking the long way through the edge of the Medina. The souks are mostly shuttered for the night, but the little cafes and juice stands are open. I passed a man selling brick from a stall, the crispy fried pastry with egg and tuna, and I almost got one for the road, but I was still full. The smell of frying oil and mint tea hung in the air. The zellige tilework on the fountains looked better by lamplight than it did in the harsh noon sun. The whole place felt secretive and layered, like the 700-odd monuments and the centuries of history are just sitting there in the dark, humming quietly. So the day ended with my feet aching and my head full of new smells and sounds. I have my bank card, I have my attestation, and I have a mental map of where to find a good coffee, a cheap fracasse, and an evening of local art. The administration is slowly chewing its way through my paperwork, but the city itself isn't waiting for a stamp to let me in. It just keeps moving day and night. The Carthage ticket is still on my phone, unsaved but tempting. And tomorrow? Maybe I'll take that TGM train to Sidi Bouzid for the blue and white views and a mint tea at the Café de Delis. Or maybe I'll just sleep in and let the jasmine do its thing. I'm learning to have a plan and also to let it go. For now, though, my day is done. The ceiling fan is clicking, the jasmine is doing its best impression of air freshener, and the chimes of the Zidona Mosque are starting to sound less like an alarm and more like a lullaby. Aslima for now. One last thing, the breek from the stall earlier. It stayed on my mind. So I did what any sensible person would do and dreamed about it until it was time for breakfast. Tomorrow starts with lullaby, I think. A garlicky, human-heavy bowl of chickpea broth that costs about 3 or 4 dinars. It's the breakfast of champions, or at least of people who want to feel robust before tackling a day in the August sun. I'll be back with my report on that and on whether I actually make it to Sidi Bouzid without getting distracted. Until then, keep your dinars close and your hat closer. Aslima.